Servants, servants, praise the Lord. Alleluia. Praise ye the name of the Lord. O ye servants,
good morning. It's good to see all of you in church on this rainy Sunday. And you all are here worshiping with us. We thank you for being part of our church family, for worshiping with us this morning. I want to give a special shout out to those that are watching us live on our website or on our Saint on the Divine app. We're excited that you too are worshiping with us. And if you happen to be new to our church or happen to be watching us and you're new to our church family, we want you to know that this community is grounded and is rooted and the belief that Jesus Christ is the head of our church, that He is the Megas Archiereps, the great and high priest of our community. We are rooted in the traditions and in the faith that He established for us almost 2,000 years ago when He came upon this earth and established the church. And so we're grateful that you're here with us. I want you, just before we get started, to make sure that you have your worship guide available with you. We spend time every single week preparing this worship guide because we want you to make sure that you take notes, and that if you need to kind of remember some of the things that we talked about, if you need to remember some of the Bible verses that we share, you have the opportunity to do so. And I encourage you, take the time during the service, during our sermons, take time to write things down if it helps you in the process. Well, today I want to begin and start out by continuing our sermon series on orama, vision. We talked about last week about what God's vision is for the church. And go back online and please watch that, because I thought that it was a great idea just from the very beginning, from a very macro perspective. What is God's intent for the church? What does He yearn for it to be? Today I want to dig a little bit deeper and talk to you about what God's vision is for your family and for my family. You know, one of the very first acts that God does is He establishes a family. One of the very first things that He ever does, we hear about it in the first couple of chapters of the Bible, is that He establishes a family. Because for Him, He wanted to make all of us know from the very beginning that God loves the family. And He's blessing a family. And what He yearns and has a vision for is a family that has Him as number one. That has a God-first family. That God yearns to have all of us taking time to evaluate what our relationships are with each other within the family. That He yearns to have a family that's constantly connected to each other and to Him, and also making a difference in the world. But let's be honest. Many times, because of societal pressures that we face on the outside and pressures that we face on the inside, many times what God's dream is for your family and mine, what God's vision is for your family and mine, isn't happening. Because the world will tell us, friends, to keep work, 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 work to make a living. God says, yes, you have to work, but make sure you're making a life for your family. The world will tell you, stay busy, busy, busy. And the more busy you are, the more successful you are. And God says, no, no, no. God's vision is, be still, family, and know that I'm God. The world's vision will tell you to put material wealth, items, and different things that you can achieve in this world as your number one priority. And God's telling you, if you want a sure definition of how a family will fail, make sure that society tells you what you should have first in your life. God says that I want you to be a prototheos family, a God-first family. And many of us, friends, if we're totally honest with ourselves, we might be rich in the world's standards and our bank accounts, but we can be poor in our family's love accounts. We can be wealthy in what we're leaving for our children, but we could be very poor in what we're leaving in our children. listen to some of these statistics that I was reading about recently about the breakdown of our family, what all of us are going through. Just so you all know, according to statistics and studies, this generation right now is working more, 181 hours more per year than the previous generation. If you were to calculate that in weeks, that means that this generation is working an extra month than the previous generation. We're doing 13 months worth of work in a 12-month period. And one study found that daddies are only spending about 7 minutes a day with their children. That amounts to about 50 minutes a week. Very interesting study for the moms that are here. One study found that 80% of women, of moms, are feeling right now an unbearable amount of stress on them. 70% of those women are not getting a good night's sleep because of that unbearable stress that they're feeling. I'm not going to ask any of you to raise up your hands, but for many of you, this message speaks to you. And what I want to make sure for you and what I want to help you today is to understand that we need on this new year to have a new opportunity for a new direction to compare what your vision is for your wife or your husband or your children or your parents. Your vision, you need to make sure matches up with what God's vision is for your family, your wife, your husband, your children. Because check this out, time is ticking. We won't have all the time that we have. And there is no plan B to help your families be what God desires for them to be. You only get one shot at this. You are the plan A that God is needing for you to lift up and strengthen and to build up not what God, not what you feel is a blessing, but what God has blessed you with. Let me share with you some Bible verses. Open up your Bibles to page 263. We're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love this book because St. Paul writes the book of Ephesians along with the book of Colossians. These are called the prison epistles. St. Paul writes these books while he's in prison. And they're so filled with encouragement. And if you want to know about the book of Ephesians, it is a message speaking directly to the church. And if you've ever wanted to know what God's goal is for the church, just take a break. Read the book of Ephesians while he's in prison. He's telling you, this is what my goal is for the church. But we're going to pick it up on chapter 5, verses 15. And this is a beautiful verse. You should probably type it out and put it on your screensaver or put it on a refrigerator and just remember this. So be careful, all of you, in how you live. Don't live like ignorant people. And what does the ignorant people look like? He'll tell you in a moment, but wise people. So let me give St. Paul's definition of what he calls an ignorant person. Make good use of every opportunity that you have because these are evil days. Now, just so you know, the word opportunity is a Greek word. The Greek word for opportunity is multiple meanings. The word that's used in this particular way that St. Paul is using is a word called keros. Can y'all say keros with me? Keros. Keros is different than the word, it's a time, it means time, but it's different than the word chronos, which is another word that in the Greek language is used for time. Because keros is a very unique word. It is almost a special time. It is a unique time, different than Kronos, different than the regular 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. Keros has a meaning that's almost like a divine intervention, a God-divine time that God is giving you. He's saying make use of every divine time, special time that God is giving all of us. Make use of it. Don't be an ignorant person. Why? Because the days are evil. And every day you have with your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your grandparents, every day you have is a blessing. And that God is encouraging us, make use of every opportunity. Don't waste the days. Strengthen your families. Why? Because the world and society has a different vision for what you think and what they believe your family should be. And we need to recognize that from the very beginning, that God blessed the families in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, the very first book that he ever wrote and shared with us through his divine words and through his divine spirit through Moses. And because he does that, to whom much is given, much is going to be expected. I love in the Orthodox marriage service that when you come to get married in the Orthodox church, just straight up at it, just to tell you, you're already coming to church married in the idea of what civilly you would call it. Because when you come to church, you as a husband and a wife are marrying Christ. The wedding that you took place, that you said, well, do you marry me and will you take me? Those will happen when someone got on their knees and said, will you marry me? Because God knows you wouldn't have invited 300 people to be at a wedding for you to answer that question again. But at a wedding service, you're saying, hey, Jojo and hey, Mary, we want to marry Christ. And when we put that stephana, that crown on our heads, it's not just nice and pretty and decorative. I want to marry Christ as a family. That my first family takes place in the ecclesia, in the church. It's a beautiful message. And some of us, friends, we've got great eyesight. We can see great. But where we're struggling with is we don't remember what we're called to be. You know, today we celebrate St. Anthony. I love St. Anthony. He lived in the 3rd century and a powerful saint. He's the father of monasticism. He wasn't the first monk, but he was someone that his family was very wealthy, very rich. But he felt God calling him, and he read in the Bible a message. He was a Bible-based person. He said that to go and sell all that you have and follow me. And he took that message literally because when he was 18 years old, his mom and dad died. And so he took care of his sister for a little bit, and then he said, you know what? I want to dedicate my life to prayer. And so he did that, and he had many people would come visit him, and one guy goes and visits him who's blind. And this blind person comes to St. Anthony and says, you know, St. Anthony, is there anything worse than not being able to see? Losing your eyesight. And St. Anthony was a man that was very short, but to the point. He said, yes, there is something worse than losing your eyesight, and that is losing God's vision for you. Let me ask you, does your vision for your family match up with what God's vision is for your family? And y'all know me by now, I'm not a perfect person. I strive my best to be the best that I can be, but I'm a believer that I don't want to just tell you what you got to do. I'm a priest that believes in giving you practical tools to help you. I want my sermons to mean something to you on a Monday morning. And so I want you to think about these three things that I put out in this worship guide today and make notes if it helps you. But I want you to think about these three points, because at the end of the day, the question I want you to ask yourself today is, what matters the most? What really matters in my life? And I've listed three of them. You can add more, but number one is God matters in your life. You know, I love Christ when he talks about in the Bible. He says, if you're thinking about what a New Year's resolution you need to do, I need to spend more time with my family, great, check. I need to spend more time doing a better job at work, check. I need to lose weight, check. I need to get over this addiction, great, check. But God says, when you put that New Year's resolution together, this is where I fit into that. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, God wants to be on your number one list. If you don't have God, I say this respectfully, if you or your family doesn't have God on your number one list, he isn't on your list. Because God doesn't like to be an afterthought. He doesn't ever like to play second place to anyone or to anything. And so we've got to make sure that we are doing what he says and being ipakawi, obedient to what he says. Seek me first. Let me ask you, where is God in your family's list? Are you a family that prays together? Are you a family that during the week are spending time talking about what God means in your life? Parents, do you ever tell your children what makes you tick, why God means something in your life. There are countless examples of how your testimony can lift your children up to a whole new level. But if God is third on your list, He will be fourth and fifth on your children's list. God wants to be protos, prototheos. God is first. Number two, church matters. You know, I love in the Old Testament, and I'm giving you all these words because I want them to sink on your heart. Jesus says, I want you to honor me in certain ways. And he gives us 10 commandments that many of us know traditionally, but there are many more than just those 10 commandments. But the 10 most popular ones says, honor the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? Why is God saying to honor it? Because the Sabbath is the first day of the week. It was a day in which people would go to the temple. And so his message is that when you came to church today, that's great. Watching us online, great. Tuning in and downloading our message, great. But what God is saying is that on a Sabbath, it's not just an hour or 2 hours on a Sunday morning, that you take the entire day to spend it and to be part of God's church and to recognize that there's a church that yearns to have you involved in it. One of the things that I'm very proud about in our community, I'll be honest with you on this, is we don't on our church's website or on our ministries just set up activities just to look good on a church resume. For us, they're not activities, they're ministries. They're things that are going to help you in your walk of faith. All of the ministries of our community are there to help you, because check this out. We're not all going to live forever. And there's going to be a day that you've got to ask yourself that just as important as my 401k and the gifts that I leave for my family, the greatest gift that I can leave is to make sure that my children have an opportunity, and my wife and my husband and my parents have an opportunity to be in that kingdom of heaven. I don't want you to be surprised on the day of judgment, basically. That God established not my house or this house, it is His house for us to be part of. Ask yourselves, how active and involved am I in a church? And the excuse that, well, I did it so many years ago, now it's time for the young people, that is the most antiquated excuse that you could ever give. God doesn't simply tell you, you worked for 30 years and you're retired. If He wanted you to be retired, you wouldn't be here. God needs us to work, to be building up, not my church, not even St. John the Divine's 100-year-old church. He needs to build up His church. And one of my visions, I tell you, one of my dreams is, you know, whenever God has it in store for us, that when we move to our new church that meets the needs of our community, I love having a new church itself. That's great. But that doesn't mean that much to me, to be quite honest with you. And I got to be straight up honest with you. What means the most to me is that it's not what we do upstairs, it's what we're going to be doing downstairs. Because my dream and what God's vision for a church is like that of Hagia Sophia, a church that had ministries not just on a Sunday morning, but 7 days a week. A church that not has a church hall, but has a family life center. That the moment that you get married upstairs, guess what? You don't have to go far. You just have to go right next door, because you're going to begin your family's reception at a family life center. That the seniors of our community have an opportunity to be together, to teach us young people about how to make prosphora, how to teach languages, how to mentor us, to mentor the young people. All of us have gifts and talents. Those come opportunities become available. That for our young people, we have fields to run around in, opportunities for us to play on basketball courts and in gymnasiums that have Christ-centered youth programs. We're not building a church hall. We're building a family life center that directly impacts every single day your family. Because if a church does not meet the needs of a family, the church is not here. It's not doing what God asked it to do. And the third thing is that each of your family members matter. And I just want to give you a litany of questions. You can write them down if you want to. If you don't, no problem. But just think about these questions. How much time do you spend with your wife? Uninterrupted, quality time with them. How much time do you spend with your children? Children. How much time are you wanting to spend with them, your parents, your grandparents? Let me follow that question up. And when you do spend time with them, how does it look like? Are you constantly playing, well, I got this email, I got to do this text. Am I distracted? How many times have you told your wife how much she means to you, or your husband, how much he means to you? I've been at too many funerals and heard too many people tell me, Father, I just wish I had one more moment to tell the person I love them and that I care for them. Don't let that happen to you. Children, your parents are blessings from God. Don't ever underestimate their love for you. Parents, your children, all the time, are blessings from God. Husbands, believe it or not, your wives really are blessings from God. And wives, let me tell you straight up, we wouldn't be where we are today if it's not for you. You are blessings to us. Let us never take them for granted. I leave you with this. Last Monday, we watched in excitement as the college football championship came, and there were two big teams that were playing in this national championship. It was the Alabama Crimson Tide under the leadership of Nick Saban. Great job, everyone, still awake. And on the other side, there was a team called the Clemson Tigers under the leadership of who? Dabo Sweeney. And that game went back and forth, probably one of the best football games that I've ever seen in my entire life. And there was so much excitement on the field. But there was a huge story that was going on away from the field. And it dealt with the coach of the Clemson Tigers. You see, Dabo Sweeney was born in Alabama. And his dream, the coach of the Clemson Tigers, was to play for Alabama. And he grew up with a mom that loved the Lord, who prayed. But she had a husband that thought totally different. Because Dabo Sweeney's dad would come home 3 to 4 times a week, totally drunk, and would hit, punch, slap Dabo's mother 3 to 4 times a week. There were police records of just showing how much he used to just beat on her. It got so bad that Dabo told his mom, "We need to leave. We can't stay here. Someone's going to get killed staying in this house." And so they left. And when Dabo and his mom left, they didn't go and live in some friend's house. They lived in a car for weeks after weeks after weeks. And in that time, while they were in the car, his mother used to sleep in the driver's side, and Dabo would sleep in the back seat. And his mother would say to him, "Now, Dabo, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that God and family come first. Nothing else. God and family come first." Dad would say, "But look what your husband was doing to you. God and family first." Eventually, Dabo's desire to play for the Alabama Crimson Tide paid off. He would be a walk-on to the football team. He'd end up living in the dorms there. But his mother was still living in that car. Do you know what Dabo Sweeney is? And I encourage all of you, take time, read. Because there's a story beyond the game. Dabo said, "Mom, I don't want you to sleep in the car. This is a young man on a scholarship to the Alabama Crimson Tide football team." And he says, "Mama, you're going to come sleep with me. You're going to sleep in the dorm. Every night I'm going to sneak you in. You're going to sleep on the bed, and I'm going to sleep on the floor, because I remember what you told me, that God and family come first." And for Dabo's entire time, in his time at Alabama, that's what he did every day. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how many college students would have taken their mama, football player, taken their mama to come sleep in their bed every night when everyone else knew what was going on. And it's interesting that at the end of the game, in a press conference,
Davo was asked about this life that he lived and how difficult it was and how great he felt being there in the football game. And although they didn't win, just being in the championship, because no one expected Clemson to be in the national championship game. And he said, listen up. Looked right at the cameras and said, God and family first. And I'm encouraging all of you to listen to Dabo Swinney's message. God is first in your life. Make sure your family knows that. Make sure that the church matters in your life. You're not just here. God needs you. He wants to equip you to change this world. And make sure that your family, each of the members of your family, know what they mean to you and what you mean to them. Because at the end of the day, what matters the most is that in 100 years from now, it won't matter what you leave for your children, for your husband. What's going to matter the most is what you leave in them. That God's vision for the family is matched up with my vision for the family. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.